Scripture lesson for today comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 23. Again, that's Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 23. So hear now the word of God. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter first, say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But at the judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or to whom the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then, turning to the disciples, Jesus said to them privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So, for the last few weeks, I've had a different hat each week. And so I was trying to figure out what I was going to do for on the road again. And I thought of Willie Nelson, and I thought, well, I mean, he always has a bandana, right? And I couldn't find one. I didn't have one. And the Lord provides, right? I got a envelope in the mail this week for a conference I was attending, and in the envelope was a bandana from Perkins School of Theology. Isn't that pretty cool? So now here's the problem. Yeah, I got a big old head. All right, so this may end up being a neck one instead of a head one. This shows you exactly how cool I have always been in my life, that I do not know how to tie a bandana. Let's see. Nope. All right. Well, I have a bandana. Oh. Lost my microphone. All right. So clearly this was not rehearsed. Okay. So I have a bandana, and I will just drape it around my shoulders. Not nearly as cool as Willie, right? He must have either a small head or really big bandanas, right? You know, this is getting on my nerves. But anyway, I have it. So when one of the things that I was thinking about when I was trying to come up with the songs to use for this sermon series was, you know, there is a tradition in rock and roll and country music and all these groups to talk about being on the road as being this awful thing, right? Think about Bob Seger has Turned the Page, right? And the whole song is about how miserable he is whenever he's on the road, right? Even Tenacious D has a song about how bad the road is. There's The Loadout by Jackson Brown, and there's a thousand other ones, right, about how if they're not singing about how bad the road is, they're singing about how much they enjoy, like, going crazy when they're on the road, right? You know, we're an American band and things like that. You know, anything by, you know, Guns N' Roses or somebody like that, right? They're about being on the road, about how much they enjoy it, right? But not for good reasons, okay? What struck me is that it seems like people who have a gift, right? Maybe their gift is music, and they like to sing, and they like to play their instruments, and they make people happy by playing their instruments and singing, don't seem to like to do it for people, right? And I wonder if part of that is not that it just gets really tiring, right? You go out and you have to go to this town, and then the next night you have to be in another town, and then you go to another town, and maybe you're singing the same songs and you're eating the same food and you wish you could take a break and this, that, and the other. Now, I'm sure the money is great, right? And all that, but it still does get tiring to be doing the same thing over and over and over. And plus, have you ever been to a concert where you could just tell from the second the band started that the energy just wasn't there, right? Where maybe the lead singer just had a scratchy voice that day, or the town that they've come to just, you know, they didn't sell enough tickets and it's just kind of quiet and people aren't getting into it. You can kind of tell from the beginning of a concert, and I hope you haven't been to too many of those, but maybe you have that experience. It's just not clicking that day. We went to see a concert that had multiple different bands from when I was in high school, okay, including, Smash Mouth and Fastball and, who else was there? Sugar Ray and a bunch of these bands, Vertical Horizon from the late 90s, early 2000s. Many of you probably don't know who they are, and that's okay. But anyway, it got to the point where Smash Mouth was supposed to come up, and they were probably the biggest name of the bands that were there. The lead singer was not into it. This was like Greensboro, North Carolina, and I guess he felt like this was a far cry down from the heyday of their band, whatever. He had been having some liquid courage quite a long time before the concert started, to the point where you couldn't understand his words most of the concert, right? And it kind of ruined that whole section, right? And that was supposed to be the big band. And I think about how that kind of grind must be really difficult, especially if you're not feeling the joy of what you're doing, right? And I think that may be the difference. So what I've always loved about the song On the Road Again by Willie Nelson is that he sings about how the life he loves is what? Making music with his friends, right? And he can't wait to get on the road because what he's doing is what he loves, right? And I think that maybe it helps when you really have that passion for what you're doing. And sometimes that passion can ebb and flow over the course of your life, but you're not always going to get that energy back from the crowd, are you? You know, as a preacher, as somebody who speaks in front of people, Ron, as a performer, you know this, right? Sometimes you're going to have people who are really into it. And other times, somebody's going to be taking a nap in the back pew, right? It happens. And not to single anybody in the back pew out. These sort of things happen, and you can feed on the crowd and be really up when everybody's into it and people are interacting, or you can get your motivation from somewhere else. From the love of what you're doing, from your passion, whatever that is. And what I love about this song is that it's upbeat, it's relentless, right? No matter what happens, he can't wait to get on the road again, and so he can be making music, doing what he loves with his friends. Now, how does that relate to the scripture? Well, this is one of those really fun passages, I think. We have Jesus sending out 70 people. Now, we're used to the 12 disciples, right? But he sends out 70 other followers to go and kind of prepare the way for Jesus' ministry in all these different towns. And it sounds like, oh, well, that would be really great. I'd love to be one of those people. Well, guess what your job description is? Don't carry any money. Don't even take an extra pair of sandals. Go and hope somebody will let you stay at their house, crash on their couch, right? Now, the good thing is you get to eat whatever they give you. Okay, that's good. But if they have all, you know, if everything is stuff you don't like, well, too bad. You got to stay in that house. Okay. And then, you know what? He's preparing them. You're going to get to places that don't like you. You're going to get to places that are hostile to your very message, right? You're going to get into this town and they're going to say, get out. We don't want to hear what you have to say. And he says, you know what? If your peace goes out and they accept it, great, stay. But if you get there and the crowd is dead, nobody's clapping along, and you play your best song and they just kind of stare at you, well, you know what? You don't have to do a bunch of encores for those people. Wipe the dust off your feet and move on to the next town. How many times do we get so focused on the critic, on the one person out of 1,000 who has a problem with us or what we're doing that we miss everything else, that we miss the opportunity to succeed? We miss the other 999 that really loved what you did, or at least didn't hate it enough to complain, right? How often do we, you know, this morning I got on my phone and I had this alert and it was like, shocker at the Olympics. I'm like, oh gosh, what happened, you know? And it was that the women's, Simone Biles is in it. Gymnastics. Gosh, that's an easy word and I couldn't remember it. The gymnastics team. You know what horrible thing happened? They finished second in a qualifier. Second. In the whole world, second. And you would have thought like one of them broke their arm or something, right? You'd have thought that they lost, they were out. No, they finished second in a qualifier. They still get to go to the final. And they still may be awesome and amazing. But all and I could have looked on 3 or 4 places thinking, well, maybe somebody else is less breathless about this. But it was all huge shocker, this and these are people who are like the greatest at what they do in the world, right? And all anybody can talk about is the one, you know, the one jump they missed the time they stepped off the mat, right? Even when they're doing amazing things that maybe nobody else in the world can do, and everybody focuses on that one little nitpicky detail that they didn't get right, right? They're probably still going to go out and win the gold. But yet, they were second one time. And how many times do we focus on that one bit of negativity? Those people that didn't listen, well, you know what? The wonderful message of what Jesus is saying in here is maybe you're not the one to give that message. It's okay. Somebody else will come along. Somebody else that they're ready to listen to. Maybe it's not the season of their life where they are ready to hear what you have to say or what you've been doing, right? How many times have we had a ministry at the church or in the church at large where you thought, this is exactly what we need to do, and you start doing it and it just flops, right? It's discouraging. And you think, well, I just failed. I did a bad job at this. Maybe I'm just not the right person, right? You immediately start because that one thing didn't work. But there's lots of other opportunities, aren't there, right? What are things that we do as a church? What are things that we do as a family? What are things that we do in our workplaces that maybe we need to shake the dust off of our sandals and leave it alone? There are practices, things that we used to do that maybe don't work anymore. And it's okay to shake the dust off the feet and get on the road again. You see, these 70 were sent out by Jesus for a specific goal. Go to a town where I'm headed next, where I'm headed soon. Be there. Let them hear and see what it is to be a follower of Jesus. And you know what? You're going to be like the pH strip that you put in to test the water. If everything comes back good, then great. Hang out there and wait for me to come. If things don't go so well, then we know we need to bring some extra chemicals for this one, right? And Jesus says, just go. Go do it. And you notice, he doesn't give them instructions of go and stand in the marketplace and tell them this, right? Make your big signs to tell them where they're going when they die, right? Does he say any of that? No, in fact, he doesn't even say, go and make them change their ways. He just says, go and tell them the kingdom of God has come near. And what is the main thing they do? They live among the people, showing by their every deed, their every action, their every interaction, that being a follower of Jesus makes you different. That way of life is superior, is better than the just muddling through that everybody in every town in every place does, right? People who are trying to make a point tend to make a big deal and tend to talk in ways that make it sound like everybody in each house is doing this big, has big, deep thoughts about every single issue, right? Somebody will try to convince you that every house you pass has somebody in there that has a really positive or negative conviction about the estate tax. Now, is that the case? Or anything else? The Affordable Care Act, da-da-da-da-da-da, on down the line, right? Everybody has a strong feeling about this, that, and the other. And the truth of the matter is, most people just want to get to the next day. Most people want to be happy, and they want to love their family, and they want to, you know, maybe their big thought is, hey, I'd like to go on a vacation next month or next year or whatever, or I'd like to buy a new house, or I'd like to buy a new car, or I want to make sure that my kid that's sick gets better or whatever, right? That's the kind of things people have strong convictions about, not about all these things that everybody else tries to convince us we have strong feelings about, right? And when the disciples that are sent out, they're kind of apostles at this point, right? Because they're being sent on behalf of Jesus. They get sent out and they go to these new towns not to tell a specific story on behalf of Jesus, but to be there and to live as followers of Christ amidst people who are filled with just the everyday drudgery of life, the hopelessness of life, in this case, without Christ. To see the difference that it is to live with and around someone who has hope. Someone who is filled with joy, even in this situation, right? This is not the best job description, right? If you were looking in the newspaper and they said, you know, hey, we have a job opening and here's your job description. Don't take any bag, no purse, no sandals. Don't talk to anybody on the road. You're going to live in the first house you come to and eat whatever they're willing to give you. Pay? None, right? Or at least no money, right? Experience, you'll get it as you go. Okay, this is not exactly the greatest job description. And yet, what does Jesus say? I saw Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. The faithfulness of these everyday 70 folks defeats the powers of evil in this world. Right? This is not Jesus going out into the square, raising his hands like Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings and casting down something, right? This is everyday people going and spreading out to towns and living a Christian life and causing the darkness to fall from heaven. How awesome is that, right? So many times I think we get wrapped up in, if we're going to be a evangelist for Jesus, or if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, then we have to do something humongous and earth-shattering and that'll get us on TV, or that'll, you know, risk our lives. We have to be in over the ocean somewhere else and doing this, that, and the other. The mission of the 70 says it may just be that town over there, right? It may just be that house around the corner. And the big, amazing thing that you're going to do is living a life that is filled with Christ. And it may not even require any pit preaching or standing out on the side of the corner and yelling at people. You may not even have to hit a single person over the head with a Bible. It may be going to breaking bread with Jesus and getting to know the people that are there. It may be going to the men's house up the road, right? Or being a buddy with one of the kids at Welford Academy, right? How many of you, your life has been changed by the slow and steady influence of somebody who was in your life and didn't quit. That's what happens most often, isn't it? Right? Maybe it's your mom, maybe it's your dad, maybe it's an aunt or an uncle or a Sunday school teacher, maybe it's a teacher at your school, maybe it was a guidance counselor or your supervisor at work. You know, who knows who it could be, but it's somebody who says, I care about you, and if you mess up, guess where I'm still going to be? Right beside you. I'm going to show you that whether it's stocking shelves at the Walmart or being on a mission trip in way overseas, that what I do is entrenched in being a follower of Christ. The way that I relate to you in my family, the way that I relate to you in my workplace, the way that I relate to you in the line at McDonald's is about being a follower of Christ. When we do that, we can look and see that even the spirits of the world submit to us. Not because we're eloquent, not because we sing the best songs, right? Not because, you know, right? Think about Willie Nelson. Does he have the best voice? No, right? He's not Pavarotti. He's not, you know, he's not even Elvis, right? He's, you know, he's got a higher voice. It's kind of quavery. It's great for, you know, right? It's very distinctive, but it's not that amazing operatic thing. And yet he makes it work. He has what he has and he uses it to make beautiful music with his friends. The 70 went out and they came back not demoralized like you might expect. They didn't come back saying, Jesus, never do that to us again. You threw us into a place we weren't ready to be. I am so tired of hummus. I cannot stand this. I'm not going and doing this again. They come back and they say, Lord, even the spirits submitted to us. The demons were scared of us. This is awesome. We can't wait to do it again. They couldn't wait to get on the road again to serve Jesus and make the music of the kingdom of God with their friends. What would it look like if that's how we as the church operated? That we were just happy to do the things that Christ has called us to do with our friends, right? Our friends that are gathered here today. Not just those, but right? We get to go and we get to make friends. The kids at the academy, the people at the soup kitchen, the people at the men's home. There are just more opportunities to have more friends. More friends that we can make beautiful music with. So I can't wait to be on the road again with you. Part of the problem that we've had in this past year and a half is that we got grounded, right? The tires on the bus were flat. And all the venues were closed. But now we get to be out on the road again. How exciting is that? So I would like to lead you in a chorus of the song that I think you know. So I'm only going to change one word. Instead of making music with our friends, we're going to serve Jesus with our friends. Is that okay? All right. Apologies to Willie. So I just can't wait to get on the road again. Life I love is serving Jesus with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway. We're the best of friends, insisting that the world keep turning our way. And our way is on the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is serving Jesus with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. Amen and amen. All right. And I hate that my bandana didn't work. I was so excited, and it's just, my head is too big. Maybe one of y'all knows how to tie one better. Our closing hymn is number 569 in your hymnal. We've a story to tell to the nations. And look, sometimes we get wrapped up in like evangelism or telling our story, and we say, I have to make sure everybody knows their way is wrong and I'm right. Did Jesus send out the 70 to do that? No, he sent them out to live and to love among people. So let's try to do that.